Bob gave up.
Do we have a picture?
Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order this evening. We have the monthly meeting tonight, and at this time, Dr. Larkin is going to lead us in a moment of silence and in the pledge, which we will be pledging to that flag. So.
Please join me in a moment of silence.
I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening, and at this time, were there any modifications to the agenda? Or was the addendum to the personnel report, was that it?
Yes.
Since?
Yeah, there is. We actually had a confirmation today, late today, so there is an addendum to the personnel report. Basically, it's for the an English teacher at the middle school. It's going to be on leave, and it will be a midterm sub.
All right. Any other additions or modifications? If not, then I would look for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second. Paul, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda for this evening is approved. We have the Student of the Month presentation, Mr. Sanger.
Thank you, Mr. Yoder. It's a great day to be a Spartan. It gives me great pleasure this evening to introduce our two Students of the Month for the month of January. Our characteristic for the month of January was that of hardworking. And if you have an opportunity to look at the credentials of the two individuals I'm going to introduce to you tonight, you'd be thoroughly impressed. One is going to study to be a neurobiologist. And the other is going for pre-med and creative writing. So, highly motivated individuals. First, I'd like to introduce Kirsten Cornelison. Kirsten, if you could come up and go over to Dr. Hollister, he has a certificate and a medal for you. Kirsten is joined here this evening with her father, and the two of them reside in New Holland. So, congratulations to Kirsten. And if you were able to make it to our Christmas concert, Kirsten did a beautiful rendition of O Holy Night. So congratulations to her. Andrew Melandra is our male student of the month. Andrew is joined here this evening by his parents, Vincent and Denise, and they reside in Narbonne. So congratulations to Andrew. As you might expect, they are both in our GSPA musical this spring. So congratulations to both our students in the month. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. It's always nice to have the students. We have a lot of excellent students at the school, but it's nice to recognize a couple of the top ones every month as well.
As a superintendent, I would also like to express my gratitude for your hard work, folks, and your leadership, because whether you want to acknowledge it or not, we're acknowledging your leadership by bringing you here. So whether you want that responsibility or not, you have it. And as I've said to many candidates who've come through here, who've received the Student of the Month, it's while we are acknowledging your hard work and thanking you for everything you've done, we're also tapping you on the shoulder figuratively and saying, we need more from you. We recognize you as folks who have great potential, and there's now an obligation to continue to work hard and do more for yourselves. And in doing more for yourselves, you do more for our community and our great country. So thank you very much. And thanks to the family as well.
Okay, at this point, we have time set aside for citizens' comments, and this is for any resident of the school district that wishes to address the board regarding the agenda or anything under our jurisdiction. Did we have any residents this evening that wish to address the board? Okay, two. If I could just have both, if you would state your name first and where you reside.
433 South Kingsler Avenue, Holloway.
And your name?
Aaron Hoffman.
Okay, and then the other?
Padita Stone, in the West End of Holloway.
Okay, great. Aaron, if you would come up first, then we.
I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for the work that you put in the board. I know it can be a thankless job, long hours and probably homework, but the community appreciates for a school well run. And I'd just want to congratulate you.
Thank you.
I'd also like to lift you all up to prayer. Father in heaven, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God lasts forever. Father, we come to you tonight, the changeless God, and we just acknowledge this board and want to thank you for their work, and I pray that you would give them wisdom as they deliberate on the agenda this evening. Thank you for them, and it's in Jesus' name I pray, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you. And Bonnie?
Thank you again for allowing me to share an update very briefly on our progress with our agenda to form a school-sanctioned swim team in the year 2016-17. And I just wanted to let you know that I met with our athletic director, Todd Reitner, just this about 2 weeks ago, and him and I are working together on the budget to be able to present it to you in the next couple of months. We have a few things to firm up. Once we have those items firmed up, we will definitely get something to you in detail so that you have a budget to move forward with and question and give us advice on if need be. Also wanted to let you know that we discussed the possibility of having Pequay Valley partner with us because we have a number of Pequay Valley students, some of them homeschooled, some of them in the school, that are actually on our winter swim team already. And they don't have a club team or a team that's partnering with another school right now. And in order to bring our numbers up for our team, it would make sense to partner with them because they're already part of our winter team that we have as a club already. That being said, we talked about possibly having Garden Spot partner with another school, but we can't do that, just so you know. We are too large to do that in our numbers, just in general of the school. So just wanted to let you know we did entertain the thought, but it's not a possibility for us to become a partner with another neighboring school district because of our numbers. So right now Todd's working on the transportation piece of the budget, and I'm working on the location for practice piece of the budget, and that's my update for today. Any questions?
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Okay, we have this evening a special presentation. I believe Mr. Winters will be doing that.
Thank you, Mr. President. I did ask Mr. Winters, as you know, this has been a major investment of time, resources, and interest to update you on our Lanco Online Virtual Academy. It's been in place now for several years, and I will turn it over to Mr. Winters.
Thank you, Dr. Hollister, and thank you, members of the board, for the opportunity to come this evening and talk about a program that I'm very excited about, and one that I think is doing pretty amazing things in our district. In the blue folder that you have, there is a PDF companion document, if you will, to the PowerPoint that you're going to see. Fleshes out some of the items in more detail. That's for your reference in the future as well. And I also put in a couple examples of marketing collateral that we're using to try to get the word out on our virtual academy. Let me start by saying that I really believe that the backbone of our academy is the phrase that's up there on the screen right now. It's the people, not the program. And I think you'll see tonight as I talk about the virtual academy, it's the wonderful people that I'm able to work with every day that makes this program what it is. And I'm really going to emphasize that as we talk this evening. I thought it would be helpful to start out to kind of give you a current status, state of the union, if you will, of Elanco Online, where we are. Currently at the elementary level, currently at the elementary level, we have 8 students. One of them is in kindergarten. We have 2 in first grade, 3 in second, 1 in fourth, and 1 in fifth. Of those 8 students, 5 of them are at Blue Ball, 1 is from Brecknock, and 2 are from New Holland. So good variety. I will tell you that elementary is, of the 3 areas, it is our newest. It is the one that we're hoping to grow the most, but we're very excited that in year 1, we have 8 students that are doing it and really benefiting from it. And interestingly, that number just doubled 2 weeks ago when we had a family of 4 move into the district, and all 4 students elected to go virtual academy. So we doubled in the time span of about 24 hours there. So that was very, very exciting. This is also our first year doing middle school, and I didn't know what to expect when we started middle school as far as numbers. I kind of said at the beginning of the year, if we get 5, I'll be pretty happy. If I get 10, I'll be ecstatic. We're at 10 right now. 2 of them are 7th graders. The other 8 are 8th graders. And they're doing remarkably well. The vast majority of them come here to school every day and work in our library. And I think especially for any of you that have familiarity of the middle level, middle school students have so much energy and that structure is very helpful. And so being able to do that has been a plus. High school continues to be our largest number. This is our 3rd year with a high school program. We have 31 kids that are currently in our high school online virtual academy. 9 of them are freshmen. We have 8 sophomores, 9 juniors, and 5 seniors. And so there's nice variety there. Gives us a total enrollment of 49 students at this point. We've hovered in the 45 to 50 range all year. Sometimes a little bit higher, sometimes a little bit lower, but we've pretty much stayed in that range. And we're using 3 different providers. We use Connections Learning at the elementary level, where we're using Connections Curriculum and Connections Teachers. We use GradPoint at the middle school level, which is a Pearson product. And we're using middle school teachers. And at the high school level, we use Apex Learning. We use GradPoint as well. And we also use a product called Middlebury Interactive, which is a foreign language provider. So we're diversifying the providers that we use as well, which I think is very important. I also wanted to give you kind of a profile of the different kinds of kids that we're seeing and what's happening. At the beginning of the school year, we had brought back 15 students from both alternative and cyber charter settings that were costing the district money, which has been a huge plus. 11 of those students are still in our virtual academy. 1 of them has returned to the high school. 1 of them now resides in another district. We've really, out of that 15, only lost 2, if you will. We've had 1 that has dropped out and 1 that returned to a cyber setting. And although I'm not happy about those 2, 13 out of 15, I still feel very happy about how we've been able to keep a very high percentage of those students with us. Since we started the virtual academy 3+ years ago, we've only had 4 students in over 3 years that have returned to a cyber setting out of over 100 students that we've served in some capacity. So that's a retention rate of around 96%, which I think is pretty awesome. And I'm really, really happy that when we're getting them here, we're keeping them here, which is a real testament to the work of the teachers. Additionally, at the beginning of this year, we had another 13 students that were currently at the middle school or high school that wanted to leave, but we were able to prevent them and get them to stay. And if you multiply that 13 out and you figure that on average a regular education student that leaves to go to cyber costs the district just over $9,000 per student, that's a savings of right around $117, or $117,000 we were able to save and keep in the district, which is huge. And the other thing that I will share, which I think is a real plus, is that our virtual academy is serving students that have a variety of different backgrounds. We have students that have IEPs in our virtual academy. We have students that have gifted IEPs. We have students that have 504 plans. And we have two students in our elementary that are currently being tested for special education services. So it's been great to be able to work with Kara Martin and her team to make sure that those students are getting the needs and the services that are necessary. Additionally, the other thing that I believe makes our virtual program unique is the fact that we're not just serving students in our virtual academy. The variety of online courses that we have enable us to serve students in a lot of different capacities. We continue to have the senior online option, something that was implemented several years ago, that continues to exist. We're serving 6 students in that capacity. In fact, Kristen, who was recognized earlier this evening as a student of the month, is one of our 6 who's taking creative writing online, interestingly enough, right now. And so to allow seniors to do that has been wonderful. I will tell you that our senior online option numbers have gone down since we initially started that. That's not a negative. That's more a testament to the fact that under Mr. Sanger and Mr. Cox's leadership, the high school's been able to open up more electives in the building that are appealing to kids. And those kids that may before maybe would have taken an English or a social studies online are now taking things like graphic communications 2 and some other electives that are in the building that maybe didn't exist 3 years ago. So that's a real plus. Additionally, with GradPoint, we're not just using it as a provider at the middle level. We have students that are learning support, emotional support, and work-based learning that are all taking GradPoint courses or a course as part of their programming right in the special ed classroom, which has been wonderful. We also have regular education students. We've been able to use GradPoint as a credit recovery tool, that if there's a student, maybe he's in his junior year and wants to go to CTC next year and is 1 science credit short, that we can put him on GradPoint, get him that credit, and he can still go to CTC next year. So we've been able to do a lot of things with that as well, which has been a real plus. And then with the foreign language piece, I have 2 eighth graders right now that are taking Spanish 1 as eighth graders in the middle school. We don't offer foreign language as a formal course in our middle school, but because of the online provider that we have, we can now allow students to take a foreign language on a case-by-case basis. So that's been a real plus as well. As far as next steps, I'm one of these people that believes that great programs only stay great if you continue to think about what can I do better? How can you continue to get better? And I'm not content to rest on our laurels at all. We have a great program, but there are still other things that we can do. One of them being an expansion of online education for gifted students. Our district has an increasing number of students that have gifted IEPs that are looking for ways to enhance and increase their programming, and online allows for that. And working with the elementary principals, especially where there seems to be a big need to figure out how we can serve those students. Secondly, I'm at 15 students that we brought back from cyber. That's not good enough for me. I want more than that. And my goal heading into 14-15 is for that number of 15 to double, so that we have 30 kids that we've brought back from cyber charter back into our district. I have an enrollment dinner that is planned for cyber families at the end of March, and I'll be burning up the phone lines in the spring and the summer, calling families, trying to make sure they know about our program and trying to get them to come back. Thirdly, development of in-house curriculum. We're really excited that at the secondary level, under Tim Leister's leadership, we have created a digital instructional design team where we have teachers that are designing online courses that over time will take the place of the digital curriculum that we're currently paying for. And I'm very excited to be able to share that even as we head into next year, there will be a handful of online courses that will be available, developed by Garden Spot teachers, that we'll be able to use in place of the online courses we're paying for, Algebra 1 being one, and there are several others. So that's very exciting, and we'll continue to move in that direction. And moving towards more of an online teacher-driven model at the elementary level like we have at the secondary. Right now, one of the great things about middle school and high school is we have Garden Spot teachers teaching those courses with the online curriculum. I'd like to get elementary moving in that same direction, where we have teachers at Blue Ball, Brecknock, and New Holland that are the online teacher of record for those online courses. There are some challenges there, one being the schedule. There's not nearly the scheduling flexibility with elementary teachers at secondary has, but we're going to find a way to make it work, and I'm committed to being able to do that.
If I could just interject for a second, the online courses that Mr. Winters mentioned that we're developing in-house, we're also going to be throwing those developed courses into the mix of marketing products that we can push out to other school districts as well. So that'll be a part that you see eventually come down the road as part of a revenue stream for the school district. So there's a lot of benefiting that's cutting both ways for us in the way we're approaching it. So
it's a very exciting venture for sure. I want to share with you some vignettes. I can stand up here and I can talk about the program, and I love it and I believe in it, and I hope you guys can see that. But we've been very fortunate to have some districts visit that have had some pretty amazing things to say about our program. A couple years ago, Warwick was getting ready to start their program. They came here. The assistant principal at that time was a mutual friend of mine through graduate courses, and he called me. He said, "Patrick, can I bring a team over to Elanco? You guys are doing this. It's working. I want to find out what's working well." They brought a whole team, their assistant superintendent, their director of technology. Warwick has a very strong program right now as well, and it's due in large part to what they learned from speaking with our folks, talking to people like Nick and Lotsey and our teachers to find out how we handle different pieces. And one of the things that we've been very open with as we talk to districts is that in public education, we all want the same thing. We all want these kids back from cyber charter in our school districts. And so if we can work together as districts to help that happen, that's a good thing, and everybody wins. Haverford Area School District came last year. Their department chair for their blended schools sent me an email where she said, "Thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us and for all of this information. Our group was extremely impressed with your team and all that you have done." Muhlenberg School District came out as well. Their superintendent and assistant superintendent came, had a nice conversation with Dr. Hollister and other members of our team to talk about what we were doing. So people are aware of Elanco, and they're aware of our virtual academy and what we're doing, and it's very exciting. And I continue to get phone calls and just talk to people, "Hey, Patrick, what about this? We're trying this. What do you think?" And that's really exciting. Additionally, I also want you to hear from students, because the students are what really we're all about. It's why we do this. And I have two vignettes that I want to share with you. And the first young lady's name, her name's Sarah. Sarah's an eighth grader. And to give you some background, before Sarah came back to us, she had never been in public school. She had never ridden a school bus before. She had never been involved with different social activities, clubs, etc. I interviewed her this week, and she said to me, "I went to online schooling at PA Cyber so that I could do school when I wanted to and still be able to travel and do dance." This young lady loves to dance. "I came to the Elanco Online Virtual Academy because PA Cyber lost my schoolwork for an entire semester." Blew me away when she told me that. "And I wanted to take art in school. I really liked the mix of being able to take classes in the building, science and art, as well as my online classes." And I'm proud to tell you, she's back with us. She takes science in the building. She takes art in the building. She rides the school bus home every single day. She's in art club because of her dance. She's part of the ensemble for Singing in the Rain in the spring. And it has just been a huge win. And if you, she was inducted into the Spartan Society in the middle school a couple of weeks ago. And if you talk to her parents, they couldn't be happier with the experience that she has had. The other young lady, Hannah, somebody who you'll recognize, that's Hannah Usner. That's the daughter of Rodney Usner of Usner Excavating. And Hannah was with us in middle school. There were some issues that prevented the building from working right for her. They pulled her after eighth grade. She was in Agora for 3 years. She came back. I talked to her, and she said to me, "I left Garden Spot Middle School in eighth grade to go to Agora Cyber because I did not want to go to the high school because of the size of the building and being involved with all the kids. I switched to Elanco Online from Agora because it gave me more help for what I needed. Even though I fall behind, the teachers help me catch up. I also like the flexibility of coming in and then leaving early if I get my work done. My favorite thing about our virtual academy is that classes can be taken both at school and online. By doing that this year, I've met some friends here at school." She's back. She's taken courses in the building and online. Loves it. She's doing exceptionally well. Had a meeting with her father last week. He couldn't be happier. with the education that his daughter's getting, and she's slated to actually graduate next year. We're going to try and get her out a semester early, and it's very, very exciting. She lost some credits at Agora, but we're going to get her graduated, and it's something she's very excited about. And those are two of many stories of kids that have really benefited from the program.
If I could make another comment and interrupt Mr. Winters one more time. One of the things that you're probably picking up on is that the marching orders are make it work, whatever the request. And Patrick has done an amazing job making it work. He's really customer service, customer focused, customized learning. Not even buffet isn't the right way to describe it. It's more a la carte. You pick what you want and don't worry about anything else. And that's really the operating and marching orders. His team understands that. They get it. And you can see that the students are being well served by the team. So at this point, I'd like to take that moment to thank Mr. Winters for his leadership, which has been excellent in this whole process. We're on the move with this, and we're serving people really well. We should be proud of it.
Thank you, Dr. Hollister. I also want to share a vignette from a teacher, because I would be, I guess, somewhat lying if I told you that we haven't had some teachers that when I first said, how about you try online, that were like, I don't know, I'm not sure, is this going to work, that type of thing. And one of them is our librarian, who has a language arts cert, and I tapped her over the summer, and I said, Joan, I want you to do middle school language arts. And there was some skepticism at first. And I asked her to jot down some thoughts because I wanted to share some of those with you. I'm just going to read a few lines. She said, when I became part of the Elanco Online team this fall, I must admit that I was a bit skeptical about having middle school students take all or most of their classes online. Would they learn anything? Would the classes be challenging enough? Would they be motivated enough to keep up with the courses? What role would I have as a teacher if they would be learning online? Once I saw the students' enthusiasm, those first weeks of school, I became more excited about this type of learning. They quickly learned how to navigate through their courses, and they were definitely motivated. One thing they realized is that courses online are not any easier than other classes. They're required to be critical thinkers, to read and analyze material, to write essays, to make comparisons, and to solve problems. Throughout this school year, I have become a proponent of online learning. And if Joan was in here this evening and sitting with us, she would tell you that she's now sold. And she is as dedicated an online teacher as any of my middle school teachers are. She's doing a great job, and I'm really happy to have her as part of my team. And so it's just been great to see the impact it's had not only on our teachers but on our kids. As I close, I need to thank my team, because I will tell you, it is an amazing group of people that I could not do it without them. There's just no way. And it's really interesting, because when I talk to other districts and they say to me, what's the most important thing about making a virtual academy work? And inevitably, I always tell them, district to district, you have to have a superintendent at the top that champions it, that supports it, that says, this is the direction we're going, this is what we believe in, this is what we're about. Dr. Hollister has said that from day one. As he said, it's always been about, we're going to make it work, Patrick. Whatever we have to do, we're going to make it work. And that's been the case on down. District office support has been amazing. District office support team, the tech department, both high school and middle school administration, and all the online teachers, the school counselors, the pupil services folks. And two people that don't get enough credit, one is Nick. And you know, Nick doesn't like me to brag about him, but I'm going to brag about him, because the whole tech piece, the kids getting laptops, the home visits, the printers getting set up, Nick goes to all kinds of people's houses. He's met a lot of different people in the district that come from a whole lot of different walks of life, and serves them with a smile and does an amazing job. And my administrative assistant, Elaine Martin, is the same way. And the two of them, they do so much behind-the-scenes work that this academy would not go without them. And they do an amazing, amazing job. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it very much. It is the people, not the programs. Any questions or comments at this time?
I have a question and a comment.
Sure.
Approximately, let's use the IU, how many have this type of education or are in the process of developing their virtual?
Okay, that's a good question. I know, I'm trying to think, within Lancaster County, Pequay Valley has a virtual academy, Calico has one, Ephrata, Warwick, we do, Manheim Township, Penn Manor, and Hemfield are doing something as a trio. Those are the big ones that, that come to mind initially, and then most of the other districts are through the IU's program.
My comment would be, just like I've said in the recent weeks, that we can't look at education the way we have for lifetime, or at least my lifetime. And our district has been in the forefront, front runner. You look back 5 years from now, where we might be 5 years from now, it'll be amazing what education has done. And not enough credit can go to not just Bob, but Keith and Nadine for their leadership in finding different ways to provide a different type of education for our students and meet those needs, but also as a revenue, to save revenues to the district and the taxpayers. Ultimately, I think it would be wise for our delegations in Harrisburg to think the same way when they look at education, not to think of things the old way, but to think things in a new sense of education. We're in a new world. We have to be aggressive, and that will lead to success down the road.
I agree with you completely. It is very exciting that I'm able to kind of go to these three with proposals and say, here's what I'm thinking, and it's not no. It's, okay, let's look at this. Let's see how we can make this work. Let's see how we can, and it's great to have a leadership team that operates that way. It makes a huge difference. Other questions or comments?
Your enthusiasm is contagious, and that's very exciting to see. Another comment is that we have an open Senate seat, and that Senate seat was hotly contested. And I found it interesting to note that the two biggest contributors to both of those candidates were charter schools. So this is a topic that's going to get hotter and hotter all the time. So I applaud the administration for taking this head on. I think it's a great program. I think it's where we need to be. My questions, two questions. One is, what is your assessment of the vendors, that your content vendors, how are they ramping up? Are they going in the right direction? Are they putting a lot of resources in? Is there a lot of competition in terms of vendor content? And then secondly, do they have content that goes down into preschool?
As far as the quality of the vendor content, they're definitely looking to ramp it up. We're starting to see, Common Core aligned tutorials and Common Core aligned courses. They're definitely jumping on to the Common Core, PA Core direction at this point. And I know, at least for the vendors that I've worked with, they're very open to hearing feedback from directors of virtual academies at school districts and what's working. One of my biggest frustrations with our elementary vendor at this point is they have a cap of you have to have 50 kids before they'll let you use your teachers to teach the curriculum. And when I spoke to our vendor, I said, do you understand how that hamstrings small districts? If you're talking about Pittsburgh City or, Boston City, 50 kids is nothing. But we don't have 50 elementary kids that are in cyber charters, and if I was pulling that many elementary kids out, I'd be answering a lot of questions for Dr. Hollister, because he'd want to know why we'd have kids flying out of the elementary building. So, I'm having those conversations with providers to kind of let them know, what our challenges are. I definitely see them moving there, not always as fast as I'd like to see them, but that's why I'm constantly looking at the products, and that's really why we're moving in the direction of developing our curriculum in-house, because then we have even more control over what it ultimately looks like. At this point, as far as your second question, I haven't heard of any providers that have pushed it down into preschool. I haven't been looking that intensely in that area. It raises an interesting question for sure, and I could probably start with connections and find out what they have. There aren't a lot of elementary providers that are out there, so. We had to really do our homework to find the one that was the best at this point in time, but it's definitely something worth exploring.
There's more coming for preschool. I did meet with one vendor here about a month and a half ago who was talking about a product that was okay. So we're looking at that as a part of our portfolio that we put together for our preschool marketing campaign. So I think the other comment that I've seen is the vendors are growing. It's sort of this vacillating pot of vendors. And what I mean by that is bigger ones are eating smaller ones, and then some smaller ones are trying, and it's a real dog-eat-dog. You know, smaller ones are growing big, and it's a whole lot of movement. One of the challenges for him and the team is who's going to be around next year. And that's a tough game, because even the big guys sometimes are selling out, the owners are selling out or whatever. So it's a challenge to stay ahead of that. That's part of the reason they're looking to develop in-house, so there's some stability and predictability, although there's time involved in that as well. So it's constantly in flux, which is a challenge. The other thing is the vendors are getting slicker how they hook you and keep you and sell you. You've got to be pretty wise. It takes a lot of time to research. That's the thing. That's why we've committed an administrator to this. I mean, he's doing some other things too, but the time that's behind the scenes just in vetting vendors, oh my. You know, I've looked in the conference room when he's had vendors in all day, and I would be mind numb by the end of that day. But that's the kind of work that has taken place.
We probably met with 10 to 12 vendors last year at different points in time. Any other questions or comments? Well, thank you so much for your ongoing support of this endeavor. It's very exciting.
Thank you for the report, and look forward to hearing more of your success stories in next year, in the next couple of years.
Thank you.
So, all right, we're at the consent agenda at this time. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Glenn?
Second.
Second, Paul. Any other conversation or questions on the consent agenda? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda has passed. We had no items removed for separate consideration, so we'll go into the reports. Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau, Mr. Ramsey.
There was no meeting this month.
Okay, that was quick. Lancaster Lebanon IU 13, Mr. Irwin.
The Lancaster-Lebanon Board met February 12th. We approved $7.9 million in disbursements. We approved 4 business service contracts, 3 early childhood and special education service contracts, 3 instructional service contracts, 3 technology service contracts, and 5 human resource service contracts. The HR committee also accepted 7 resignations. We had 1 termination. 11 retirements, either now or by the end of the school year, 15 new hires, 28 change of positions or salaries, and 5 leave of absence were approved. I've passed out an information sheet helping districts help students to each of the board members and the administrators. And in the next couple months, we will be asking you to approve the IU 13 budget. So I gave you a little worksheet that we've been using and developed to as a handout to help you with that when we vote on that budget, and that is included also as a separate handout to each board member and administrator. If there are any questions, I will be happy to answer them at this time.
When do we vote on the IU budget? Is that next month, or is that Mr. Ramsey? Okay, that's fine. Did you want to talk about the decrease?
One highlight of the budget.
I thought you might get that in.
And the part of the IU budget that the school districts vote on is 2 pieces, the core program of services and the instructional media services budget. And this year we'll be asking for a 1% increase in the core program of services budget, and we'll be asking for a 3.6% decrease in the instructional media services budget. So just something to consider that we'll be pretty happy to present that budget to all the districts this year.
Mr. President, looking through the documents we got this evening, in March, there will be a presentation to the superintendents on the budget, and March and or April, the budget will be approved by local school boards.
Great. I couldn't remember. It comes around every year. Any other questions for the IU board? I guess we have the breakfast coming up. Dr. Hollister will touch on that. Okay. The Lancaster CTC, Mrs. Redmond.
The JOC has not met since we did last time, so I have no report tonight.
Okay. Thank you. And then legislative, and there's obviously been a lot going on with that. So, Tom?
Of course, we had the governor proposing his budget on February the 4th. I know I could have referred some of it to Keith and Bob. I don't know whether they want to do that now, their comments, or wait till Bob, during your portion, or whatever.
Keith? No, we can do it now.
Okay. I'll give some overviews here. On the revenue side, the governor... if you follow the what was in the paper, according to most of the state representatives from the county, is taking a very optimistic view on what revenues would be this year to the state. I would prefer to have the approach we have at our district, to have a more conservative approach. And if you do better, you're in good shape. If you're a little short, you're still in good shape. So that would have been my feelings on that. There was one, it was put out about the changing with electric choice that would generate, I believe it was $300 million to the state of Pennsylvania as a perspective by one of the representatives from down in Philadelphia. I think it would generate only 4 in 10 Pennsylvanians currently choose a different supplier for their, have chosen a different supplier for their electricity. Without getting into all the details of it, I think this would be a definite infringe on freedoms of this residents of the state to choose it, rather than selling off the rights of the ones that didn't choose to generate revenue for the state. On pension reform, it's a little bit of a different approach. I personally feel that Representative Grell of Cumberland County had the best approach for pension reform, where he would be borrowing $9 billion in 2 installments to stabilize the system, create a better opportunity, that there was trust that Pennsylvania is addressing the problem. The second step would have been that all new employees would be in a 401k program. And the third would be that current employees, contributors, would also have changes made to their contributions. I feel this would have been the best way to go. Currently, what the state is pushing is just only for new employees to be part, which pushes the deadline out, I believe, 30 years now for solvency or something to that effect, where the previous plan that I had spoken about, the 3-step plan, would have been a 15-year. I know you had to fight laws that are in place guaranteeing certain contributions, but like I had stated earlier, that all of us since 2008 had had to change the way we look at our contributions. Our financial portfolios have been drastically affected. I think it would be wise for current contributors to get in touch with their leaders that we want some modifications made to our system. My personal opinion, it could be done in a STEP program, maybe up to 15 years. It could be done at different levels, depending on how many years of employment. Obviously, if you're at the end of your, getting near the end of your career, there would be less or no influence on your contributions. The other part was with the governor didn't notice any, didn't weigh in on property tax reform, which he had the previous year, and we had received a number of I received a number of questions about that over the last few weeks.
One of the most unique one was that we go with a California-style taxing program. I don't think we want to go down the road of California and Pennsylvania. But I think somewhere down the road we have to take a serious look or look at one of these bills that have come forward, whether it's going to be a combination of pension or property taxes and personal taxes for funding of public schools. But I just want to note that regardless of what the funding program is, the dollars will have to be the same that go to our school districts, whatever the approach is. I personally feel that a two-step approach would be best if for whatever reason there's a downslide in the economy in one area that you wouldn't be, or things are doing better in the economy in another area, that it'd be less devastating to our senior citizens and people in limited income when it comes to their property taxes. As in every budget, 40% of this budget does go to education. We will be seeing the swing over to the other guys over here because they can give the numbers of how it would affect our district if they want to approach it this time.
Okay, I'll jump in first and then I'll turn it over to Dr. Hollister, who will go over the Ready to Learn grant. First thing I wanted to kind of dovetail on what you said regarding PEASRs. The governor did propose, he didn't propose any type of pension reform, but he did propose reducing the current pension collars. That would be the max that the rate would go up in 1 year. Currently, they're at 4.5%. He's proposing to cut them in half to 2.25, and then increasing those 0.5% each year until it reaches the 4.5, or until it reaches a rate equal to the annual required rate, which that will be in 2019-20 when it hits 32.08%. All this does is really just continues to kick the can down the road, and in our situation, it's a $1.1 million can. That's how much gets deferred down the road without any type of pension reform. It's just going to make the out years even worse. For basic ed, our basic education instructional subsidy, we are getting about an additional $100,000, which is pretty similar to what we got last year, a little bit more. We got about 85 last year. Special ed, this is the first year in 6-7 years that we've gotten a funding increase. As you recall, there was a special education funding task force that would, all districts were held harmless on what they've gotten in previous years. The special ed task force was tasked to redo the formula for any new money. So of the $20 million that the governor is proposing increase, we get $10,000. So that ends my report.
The other part of the budget that I was going to report about in the superintendent's report is the grant piece. Essentially, the district could benefit from a total of about $357,000. $101,000 of that is already in our budget. That's in the accountability block grant. That money's been in existence for a while. We're already using that money. So there's another $257,000, which is great money. And because of the success that we had, that we have academically on the school profile, while I felt as a superintendent we certainly had some areas that we needed to improve, overall, our score on the school profile as a district at 86 gives us maximum flexibility with that $257,000. I will say, for the record, that I think what PDE and what the governor have come up with makes sense to me. Essentially, what they do is they tier you in columns. There's four columns. With schools performing below 60 on the school profile, very limited to where they can spend the dollars. Limited in things such as pre-K to grade 3, training and support for literacy and STEM, and extended learning opportunities. That's it. And that makes sense. If you have a school district that's showing some success on the profile, they should, obviously they're doing something right, they should be able to spend that money with a little more freedom, which is sort of the formula they've come up with, and I support that. It's logical. So fortunately for us, we have maximum freedom to utilize that funding source that's coming to us this year. I'm underscoring this year because, you've got to be careful. It's dollars that are in the budget this year. You've got to be careful about starting new programs that you're going to have to pay for perhaps next year out of your own pocket. It's not clear right now. It's not clear whether we're even allowed to spend it on current programming. For example, hybrid learning is in the list. We're doing a lot of hybrid learning, and we're expanding it. Whether or not we're going to be allowed to apply funds to hybrid learning because we were already in the chute, I don't know yet, nor no one knows. So there are some questions about how the money can be spent in terms of new and old programs, but the good news is that we're in Tier 4, the highest tier there is, in terms of the spending. We have the most flexibility. Again, reminding everyone that it could be a one-year deal, and we've got to be careful not to bite on that hook too hard. If we do spend things, it'll be for one-year expenditures, most likely. Tom?
Just a few final comments. I stated many times over the last weeks, if there's anything Harrisburg does this year, it must be pension reform. If they don't pass anything else up there or do anything else, provided the pension reform is good that they vote on, it must be done because the economic results for this state will be devastating. You look at the numbers, 1.2 to 1.5 billion in the budget this year. It'll escalate to $4 billion in a few years down the road. And it's just going to, like that snowball, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, like Keith had said in his report. They must do it. They must learn to work between, the parties must learn to work together, or we'll be in the same shape that some other states are in, California, or cities like Detroit. We must get this in line. On a side note, as I stated earlier, on the state house race, David Zierman won the endorsement for to represent the 99th district, and Ryan Allman was endorsed. Ryan Allman was endorsed to represent to be the selected candidate for the 36th Senate race. Gordon Denlinger is still deciding at this time, I believe, whether he will challenge Ryan in the primary or in the general election. So we'll see how these candidates, what their views are. I'm sure they'll get more scrutiny now in the next few months. They'll have a Democratic opposition. There'll be a diversity of plans put out there, and we'll have a lot of information to sift through. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Tom, and very informative and thorough report. Any questions regarding legislative matters? Then go right into the superintendent's report.
Superintendent's report, the first item that I would have would be to congratulate Mr. Wenzel for his run at the 99. If nothing else, Mr. Wenzel, you made the other guys sharper and you kept them honest. So. Don't feel that your efforts were lost just because you didn't win the endorsement. It's part of the process, and it's an important part of the process is to have multiple candidates.
I might add that there were two questions that came up from nearly every committee person, pensions and property taxes. Some of the questions on property taxes were a little unique, but those were the two questions. I had a few other side questions, but every person wanted to know about that.
The other thing I would like to say about Mr. Wenzel's report is I echo his support for the Grell plan. The Grell plan for pension reform was a plan that I had shared some information with you. I described it in buckets. He described it in pieces several months ago. I think Representative Grell is probably the one representative who understands the full picture more than anyone else, and I would support it. It would ask for a signature of the current members, including myself, and I would sign the paper to take a change in benefits to get that done. It's that important. Pension reform is everything. It really is. On to my formal part of the report. Did want to talk about the budget, which we talked about already. The other major issue that seems to be getting a lot of airtime among our community members, our parents, and the news media is the makeup days and how the calendar can potentially work. I'd like to get some information into the public that's accurate. There's a lot of speculation out there, and there's a lot of ideas. Some are good, some are impossible. This is in no specific order, it's sort of random But in terms of making up school days, there is an hours and days equation. There is a basic number of hours that we must complete per level. 450 for, I'm going to do this from memory, 450 for kindergarten, 900 for middle school, and 900 for elementary, and 990 for secondary. So it's both. It's not an either-or. There's been some speculation or some content that it's an either-or. It's not an either-or. We must have 180 days of school, and we must have those hours to be legal. We cannot open school on Saturdays. That should make most folks happy, although there were some people who liked that idea as well, those who have early vacations, I guess. But we are not allowed by code to open school for ordinary instruction, and that's the key phrase, ordinary instruction on Saturday, although there is a little caveat to host graduation practice on a Saturday, Mr. Sanger, so you might want to tuck that in your head. We can host graduation practice on a Saturday, and they can get credit for school. So as bizarre as that is in the code. So you're getting your facts tonight, ladies and gentlemen, whether you want them or not. The other thing is an Act 80 day. An Act 80 day is another legal way that we can acquire time. This district has not applied for Act 80 days in the past. Act 80 days are basically in-service days for teachers where students are not here. But if the teachers are performing certain professional development activities listed in code, then they do count for student days, which, again, I don't understand why, but that is how the law is written. We are in the process of applying for one Act 80 day. We did have one Act 80 day prior to the others getting postponed to the end of the school year. Interestingly enough, only Act 80 days that occur during school session from the first day of school to the last day of school for students can count. So even though we've moved two of our in-service days because they get canceled to make up time for students, to the end of the school year, after students are finished, we can't apply for them just because they've been moved to the end of the school year. There is one that we can apply for. We're going to apply for it. I wouldn't use that without permission of the board, but given where we are still early in a winter season, I thought we better have all options on the table. So we are applying for the one Act 80 day that we did have around the Thanksgiving holiday. Interesting enough, delays that we've had, and if we would close early, which is also a very interesting point, we have not had an early dismissal this year for weather. They've all come at night, which is why I haven't gotten any sleep, I guess. But it just dawned on me. Last week, we hadn't had to muster the buses during the day, which is an unusual weather situation. Of course, next week we will, now that I said that. Those hours don't count against the 900 and the 990 and the 450. If we would have to close a building for a very unforeseen circumstance, such as a water main break or no heating, those hours would count against that clock. Again, I don't know the rhyme or reason. I'm separating the nuts and bolts here. So fortunately, the delays that we've had do not count against those hours. Another interesting thing, folks keep waiting for the governor to declare a state of emergency so that everything is forgiven. Well, that's not the case. The governor declares a state of emergency. The schools are not they're not accepted. There's no exception for schools. We still need to make our time. The only time that the state of emergency would take a place, or that schools can be forgiven for time missed, is if all possible makeup days up to June 30th have been consumed. So what you hear me saying is we would have to schedule every day. We would need to miss so much school that we'd be scheduled to June 30th. And then and only then, and that's assuming we used all other days, for example, at Easter and the other holidays, only then will we get forgiven for days that we didn't make up. The last bit of information that I've heard floating around, and it's got some real merit, is, well, what about online? All the kids have computers. Why can't we do online instruction? And the simple answer is PDE doesn't have a protocol for that. they're not ready for that. That plus, we do have to be a little bit careful that all students have connectivity. That would be an issue. And that's not the case here. We still have a small percentage, but a percentage nonetheless, of students who do not have connectivity. There would also be ramifications for special education. We would need to make sure that there are accommodations made for special education students. Until PDE addresses that, there will not be an online makeup session yet, but I would suspect that, that after this winter, there's a lot of press to try and get something on the books for that. So there are sort of all the facts and figures regarding the makeup time. There's been a lot of rumors out there swirling around, some things reported in the paper, but they're the facts as I understand them in terms of the makeup time. Currently, we're scheduled to go till June 11th, I believe it is, and we'll see how all that works out. Any questions on the makeup time? I've had to learn some of this, too. This is not stuff I just know, I've got to tell you. The last item I have, then, is I'm just announcing, and I know it's not something I normally do, but spring sports has begun practicing, and if you don't understand why I'm announcing that, then you haven't been in the state in the last 2 months. But spring sports has started, so there is hope. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Dr. Hollister. Were there any questions or anything else on the superintendent's report? I guess under announcements, I did want to mention, too, I know you mentioned before about the spring breakfast. Is there still time to sign up for the legislative breakfast, or was
I dead? Don't think so. My assistant did contact everyone,
okay,
badgered everybody, and we have a short list.
Okay.
We're good. We're covered.
All right. And I did want to also add, too, like Dr. Hollister mentioned, Tom, you know, your willingness to put yourself out there and run, and I think you were certainly, you know, an advocate for education, and I think probably by you running, may have made some of the other candidates more aware of some of the issues with education. So that in itself is well worth it. So thanks for that.
I'd like to add to that. I didn't want to give it during the legislative report. My wife Linda and I would like to thank everybody for their kind words of support, and those of you that I asked to make calls to committee people to help sway things my way. I can't express enough how deeply heartfelt that was to receive the support and encouragement from everyone. Because some days you wake up, you're optimistic, then you make a few calls, and some people are a little bit cold to you. Then you call the same person back a week or two later, and they're more talkative to you, and drove you about half up a wall trying to figure out. They have good poker faces, I'll tell you that, or good poker voices. Anyway, to find out where people stood, but I'd do it all over again. Of course, I hope the result would be different. I'm not a good loser. I take losing a lot better than I did when I was a teenager. So I tend to see there's things to be gained out of losing and to improve yourself down the line, and you leave yourself the chance. You never burn any bridges. You leave yourself the opportunity to move forward if that opportunity ever arises again. And that's all I'd like to say.
Thank you. Any other comments or announcements? All right, then I would look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.